that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the Coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Good morning to you, Martin.
Morning, Gillian.
In a sweeping new anti-crime move, police apparently are planning to microdot household items in 2 million South African homes in the next year. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, you know, microdots, we've seen them on cars. In fact, they'll become compulsory on cars from July the 1st. All new cars coming through will be microdotted, and we see how valuable that is, because even when they blew up a car recently, they still could find these microdots, because they put about 10,000 of them in 88 different places on these cars. They're smaller than a pinhead. You know, you can't see them with the naked eye, and you need a device, a scope, to actually pick them up. So it's all about lowering the risk-to-reward ratio and putting more risk into these things. Now they want to extend this also into household items. We see Business Against Crime and the police wanting to roll this out quite ambitiously. They're talking about 2 million homes in 1 year. Well, of course, I'd like to see that target being met, but because the people also have to cooperate. They have to actually buy these microdots. You buy about 3,000 of them for about 400 rand, and you can put them on your prized possessions. You might want to put them on your TV set or sound system or whatever, and then you register them on a computer as yours. You get an identification number, and the police have access to this. If they're stolen items, they can check, because once it's stolen from you, you then record it on the database that it's been stolen. They go through that, and they can return it to you, because the big problem with the cars, of course, is that, you know, the thieves have been stealing these cars and giving them new identities. They take away the vehicle identification numbers, file off the engine number and chassis number, and it's got a new identity. They give it new identity. So if the police do recover those, and they recover about 12,000 stolen vehicles a year, they don't know who the owner is. So we have like 12,000 cars destroyed a year, and it's costing us a billion rand. So hopefully this data dot will also increase the risk for house robberies and things like that, if the police are able to roll this out. And I believe they're going to use a lot of youth to help them in this campaign, also backed by Business Against Crime.
In terms of the vehicles, where it's going to be compulsory, will that be done at manufacturer level, or will the consumer have to ensure that the microdots are placed on?
The gazetting notice, as I understand it, is that new cars coming through at factory level will have these dots on, and it'll be compulsory for them to do that, all the manufacturers.
Very interesting. And moving on to a different topic, international interest shown in a new South African rail fault technology. Tell us about that.
Now, on our heavy duty lines, and we've got two dedicated lines, we've got a coal line going down to Richards Bay, we've got an iron ore line going down to Sishen. You know, a derailment on those lines costs a fortune. And we've seen a lot of the derailments on the coal, and lesser so on the iron ore line. But last year we had a derailment on the iron ore at a time when the iron ore price was sky high. And, you know, we lost out and there was a lot of delays. So what the Transnet and the CSIR and also the Institute for Maritime Technology have been doing, they've been studying up a new device to do this in a better way, because we knew these old tapiologists of the past having to tap the rails. And it's a labor-intensive, time-consuming operation to work out where these faults are in the rails, and you have to do it physically. They said, let's work out a new system, do it remotely. So they can attach a device to a rail, vibrate it, and over a distance it gives off ultrasonic messages. And if it's normal, of course, you don't get an alarm. The moment there's an abnormal situation, an alarm goes off, and you can now go and repair this. So instead of having to spend all that time trying to find out where the faults are, now the fault bounces out at you, and you can obviously get more time to do the reparation job. Of course, this has caught the ears and eyes of the international community, and already, you know, there have been requests coming through from Canada, from the New York subway, and also Hong Kong, where the tests have been done, and more tests, I think, are underway now in Japan, people wanting to use this because it's a problem worldwide.
Is this technology currently being used in South Africa?
Currently being used in South Africa, and it's actually assisted with two potential derailments that would have taken place. It's identified these, and, you know, these lines, they are long train lines, and they're very heavy haulage, and there's a lot of fatigue. You can't pick it up in the rail early during the manufacturing process. So this has already paid its way.
And do you think this would in future also be used along passenger rail?
I think it should, because we had this terrible passenger situation recently. Obviously, that wasn't a rail break. It was excessive speed. But I mean, I'm sure this could also be used, as you see the Americans looking at the New York subway.
Now, interesting news coming through from Namibia. Apparently, they plan to convert their destructive encroacher bush into technology. Sounds very interesting.
Yeah, you've got this encroacher bush in Namibia. Devastating. It actually spreads the desert, undermines agriculture. The farmers hate it. And they say, what can we do with this? The tender that's just come out now, and people must respond to this tender by June the 10th with proposals, is to cut this bush down, convert it into wood chips, feed it into a gasifier plant, and produce electricity. And one cement plant is already doing this in Namibia. And a cement plant active there actually gets nearly a third of its electricity already from this encroacher bush. So they want to kill many birds with one stone. And the idea is to remove the encroacher bush. You first set up your gasifier plant. A farmer might do this. A farmer will become an entrepreneur. He'll turn into an IPP. It's an independent power producer. Sets up these little gasifier plants, and they've already had pilot plants, you know, that have shown that it can work. And then they remove the bush, the encroacher bush, around this plant. Now, that's not the end of the story, because you've got jobs, because people have to remove that. You also have a higher skill job of people who feed these wood chips into the plant. But it's in 10 years' time, that bush will come back. So it's renewable, and it's a renewable energy source. So they're hoping, the Namibians, a little ambitiously, because there is a bit of a water issue. You know, to cool these down, you need water. They're not well known for water. But also, I suppose, if you use the brackish underground water, you could also get salt, maybe as a byproduct, and a few other things that you could get out of this. And so they're hoping that they can get up to 20% of their electricity from this renewable source, and they know that they need to generate their own electricity. They can't rely on their neighbors as they have in the past. So they want an early response. June 10, they want the bids in to see what they can do with their encroacher bush.
Especially before winter, maybe they should have a bit of a chat with Eskom as well with regards to this. Maybe South Africa can also benefit in some way, given the high demands on Eskom.
And this is Eskom's equivalent in Namibia, Nampower. They're leading the show.
Great stuff. Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Thank you for joining us once again on AM Live. Martin will be back at the coalface at the same time again next Friday.